horse racing on Off the Ball with William Hill, giving this year's Cheltenham Festival an epic boost. Download the app. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Well, it used to be on a Thursday, and since Cheltenham went for a four-day festival, it is a Friday. But regardless of what day it is, Gold Cup Day is an iconic day on the sporting calendar, and we cannot wait for the action today in the big one. It's been a hell of a week at Cheltenham. I would say in general for punters, a trying week for our sponsor, William Hill. A week that shows there is a future in laying horse racing bets, particularly at Cheltenham if you're going to get these 20 runner races, not only in handicaps, but in all the novice events throughout the week. And we will be available for the final day today at 11:30, every day 11:30 a.m, wherever you get your pods, thanks to our sponsor William Hill. And we are going over straight away now to Cheltenham live to John Duggan, who has been at Cheltenham since early on Monday morning. JD, what is the battery power at the moment?
Battery power is always good, Johnny, when you've got the privilege to be here on Gold Cup Day. I mean, the adrenaline will get you through that anyway.
So you look terrific.
Thank you very much. We have the Gold Cup Day program, and the tie always goes on for Gold Cup Day. So I'm wearing a 2015 St. Andrews Open Golf Championship tie, which has been taken out of the box at home for this special day in sport and in horse racing.
How are you, Don McLean?
Good, thanks, Johnny. No tie. Still underdressed, man. It's a tie and a whole slid. But yeah, look, excited for the day ahead, Johnny. As I say, iconic day. It's probably, you know, there are many high points in the sport, but Cheltenham Gold Cup today, it's definitely one of the biggest.
What would your favourite be? I'll ask you both. What would be your favourite renewal of the Gold Cup, Don?
It'd have to be Dawn Run, Johnny. When she won it, probably before your time now, was down the back of a chemistry lab trying to listen to it on the yellow transistor radio on the cell phone I made. And the teacher stopped us. Whatever, we kind of shouted whenever we'd heard she'd won. And he didn't say, like, stop that. He just said, did the mare win? But that was brilliant. And then watching the commentary and the Peter O'Sullivan commentary, the mare's beginning to get up. That was, for me, that's one of the races, one of my favourite races of all time, one that resonates with me and during my formative years getting into the sport. And yeah, that was John Run's Gold Cup. Plus, she's still the only horse ever to win a champion hurdle to win a Gold Cup.
And she was a mare, JD. Like, you know, it was an extraordinary, extraordinary achievement at a time when Ireland needed a lift in so many ways. I mean, you can imagine, there's that iconic scene in the movie Brooklyn where Earlo Linnard plays this character who sings this beautiful ballad for all the homeless people in the shelter at Christmas. And you can imagine the amount of Irish who were living in England at that time who were probably struggling themselves at you know, the mass immigration and having to move home, and what Dawn Run meant to these people.
Well, there's a reading in the years. I'm pretty sure it's 1986. And at the end of the reading in the years, there's a song called "Won't You Remember Me" as people get on the bus to go and emigrate to England. And I was seven at the time, and my dad my late father was a massive horse racing fan, and we were just transfixed by this. Do you remember it? Because I just kept on remember it was always replayed, Run and Skip, Dawn Run, Forgive and Forget Wayward Lad. And then there's that moment in the winner's enclosure where John O'Neill just goes like that. It punches the air in the winner's enclosure. And that is just the euphoria of the moment of what it meant to Paddy Mullins, John O'Neill, and everybody involved with the horse. And like, when you look back at the footage now, it looked pretty dangerous, to be honest. There was so many people crowding around an Irish banker for the Gold Cup. And like, I mean, that probably is the one. If I was going to pick another one, I snuck up. I got a sneaky elevator to a box here in 2008 to watch the Gold Cup. And I really was a massive Denman fan. And I really preferred him to Call a Star. I thought that Denman was a real steeplechaser. He loved the way he jumped fences. And so I almost like a grandstand view of Denman just pulverizing the field and beating Call a Star in the Gold Cup and just powering up the hill. And just thought that was just sheer force in the Gold Cup. But it was just a beautiful moment.
Yeah, I'd say, Don, actually, Denman winning it for some reason for me. I had a few quid in him on the day, not a lot, but that was just a golden time. Don Cossack was a horse that I think I fell in love with him. If he were a woman, I would have just found him absolutely drop dead gorgeous. Like he had everything about him, the swagger, the looks, the way he raced and a bit of personality to go with that. And I suppose, Don, if you look at the Arkell and the Champion Chase, this week. It's almost steeplechasing at its best at speed, but the Gold Cup itself, for some people, is the ultimate test.
It is the ultimate test, Johnny. It's when people go through the sales and they're trying to buy a horse. Generally, they're trying to buy a Gold Cup horse. You don't see many people or hear many people go and thinking, I want to buy a Champion Chase horse. It's the Gold Cup. That's the pinnacle. That's the blue ribbon of the sport. And it tests everything. Like, it's 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs and up this hill here that has found out so many. But it's also a test of pace. It's also a test of class. You're not going to win a Gold Cup if you don't have pace and if you don't have class. Obviously, you're not going to win it if you don't have stamina. And we'll get on to it now in a second. The stamina of a lot of today's main contenders has not been tested to this end yet. But it's kind of like the Epic Cup final, isn't it? It's the race, and we've been building up to it for so long, like for 12 months for sure. And now we're not too far away from finding out how it's going to pan out. And that's, for me, that's the spice of it all. You have these theories, you have all these kind of unknowns, and we're going to find out very soon what the answer is.
22 jumps, JD, as well. Like, you look at the difference in the hurdlers having to jump 8 and the Champion Chasers having to jump 12. 22 jumps today. I think it was the year I fancied Presenting Percy to win the Gold Cup, and I was there and I had a good view in the stand, and sadly I don't really watch enough racing from the stand anymore, but that was the day I remember when it really hit me how fast this is at the jumping test, particularly on ground like today.
Well, as Don said there, it's about pace, and often sometimes you need a good two-miler that can stay the trip. So Kicking King second in an Oracle Chase, Sizing John second in an Oracle Chase, Best Mate second in the Supreme Novices Hurdle, had the pace to lie up. And like, if you have the pace, then your jumping is not put under pressure, because if you're outpaced early in the race, you can't get a position, and then you're more prone, I feel, to make mistakes and just get you just can't make up the ground. So you have to have the pace, but you have to have the balance as well, is that you have to have the stamina too. And there have been Gold Cups over the years, like Cool Ground winning the Gold Cup as a, I would call, a staying horse. Native River in 2018 was a Welsh national winner. So you're almost weighing up today. Is it the Spillane's Tower, Haiti Calore types of horses? I know the way you're thinking. Obviously, had a lot of pace on good ground last year, but can stay the trip too. Or are you looking for the horses that fought it out in the King George, the Jukebox Man, Django Bai, who's attracting the money, by the way, this morning, and the Gaelic Warrior? Will they stay the extra quarter mile? So that's that beautiful puzzle we're trying to work out between, and the winner could be out of the ones I've mentioned, that the pace versus the staying thing. And that's when the best horses that won the Gold Cup, like Denman, Caught a Star, Galopin des Champs, Album Photo in recent years, had the mixture of both perfectly.
Yeah, weirdly enough, I suppose the big chases, the senior chases on the week haven't attracted massive fields, and it does feel a bit odd that we've only 11 runners in the Gold Cup, because the trend all week has been for massive fields. Cheltenham will be delighted with the field sizes. You almost expect them in the handicaps, but certainly in the Grade 1 races as well. But before we get to the Gold Cup, and we go through the 6 days of the card, 6 horse races on the card, and I do feel a lot of punters are struggling throughout the week. Hopefully we'll find a winner or two, and we did have the treble penalty of Slade Steel yesterday beaten. I think we're actually going for 3 different horses in the Gold Cup today, so maybe we have a better chance. But JD, we'll go back to you for just conditions over there today. It's been a dry week, very windy yesterday, windy in Dublin today, and we also get market moves off you.
Yeah, we have a lot of rain last night, 10 millimetres, and added that to 2 as well during the day. So we're talking about 12 millimetres of rain. That has changed the going to, on the chase course, good to soft, soft in places, and on the hurdles course, soft, good to soft in places. But it's a beautiful day now here. It's sunny, it's windy, and I expect the ground, it'll probably be just perfect ground, maybe on the soft side of good come post time. Like, Ian McNarrow, Keith coming in after the Ryanair chase yesterday, he said it was on the soft side of good, and there was mud all over him. So I know there's been a bit of disquiet from certain quarters about the ground, that is too lively. But I remember the Cheltenham Gold Cup being run on good to firm ground in the past. So, look, I think the ground is fair, personally. I think the ground is okay. When it comes to market moves, obviously the big race, 4 o'clock, the Gold Cup. Django Bai for Nicky Henderson, 7-2. Generally, he's had a lot of support. Just behind the favourite Gaelic Warrior, who's a pretty neutral, not positive, not negative, about 130 chance. The Jukebox Man drifting to 7-2. Haiti Calore also on the drift out to 7s. Last year's winner, I know the way you're thinking, you can get at 9-1. Grey Dawning is a drifter to 18. Spillane's Tower also 18-1. Friendless in the market. Bit of money for Firefox. Jack Kennedy possibly could have ridden Spallan's Tower, but he's staying with the stable. And Firefox, who was fourth in the Irish Cold Cup, has been back to Nibbledon to 33-1, 28-1 in places, but money for that. Envoi Allen would be a fairy tale if that won. 40-1, Lampress is 50s, and Gold Tweet, 125-1 for the Gold Cup. In terms of the other races, the Triumph Hurdle, a very difficult puzzle to solve, a 120. A lot of runners in this one, but we have, as favourite at the moment, is Proactive, but a drifter, 9-2. Selma Davari also drifting out to the same price, 9-2. Money for Maestro Conti into 13-2. Money for Highland Crystal into the same price, 13-2. Apollon de Charny for Patrick Mullins being backed into 20s. North Shore, One Horse Town, also attracting support in the Triumph Hurdle. That is at 120. The second race in the card is the County Hurdle. The Cavalry Charge, over 2 miles at 2 o'clock. So Carabao for Paul Tennant has won this race many times in the past, is the favourite about 9-2, pretty neutral. Sinatra is a drifter. Joya's 9-1, has got attracted a lot of support. Also at 9-1 is Secret Squirrel, who's popular in the market, but Mercia is not. Willful and Hello Neighbour are being backed as well in the County Hurdle, as is Stick to the Plan at a price about 25-1. We have the 240 then, which is the Mayor's Chase, Dino Blue, not that popular, 2-1 favourite. Panic Attack is a drifter, as is Spindle Mary. Money for July Flower for Henry de Bromhead into 8s. Diva Luna, pretty neutral, about 8-1 as well. That is in the Mayor's race, the Mayor's Chase. We have the Albert Barfitt Novices Hurdle. I always find this one of the toughest races of the meeting. I think it's a great race. Love this race. It's like the Grand National. Dr. Steinberg, pretty popular, about 11-4 favourites. The Devil You Know, The Passing Wife, Money Gara, all negatives. Money, a bit of money though for Mondu Eboy for Ben Jones in the saddle. Money as well for Jalon Duderiz, for Gordon Elliott. And money as well for Hype Pop de Loire, who's been on running on the flat. Harry Gobden rides for Willie Mullins, 25-1. The penultimate race is the Hunter's Chase, another difficult race to solve. It's on the line. Who's been so close to winning this race in the past is the 9-2 favourite and has been backed as well. Panda Boy, for Martin Brassel and the Gleasons, is also 5-1 being backed. Money as well for Barton Snow at 9s. Money for Will It Go Ahead at 16-1 for Harry Swan. Money for Solitary Man as well at 22-1. And Carn Fanoc at a price of about 66, attracting a little bit of support. And then if we're all out with the washing in terms of our tips by the time we get to the Martin Pipe conditional hurdle, maybe it's time to look to Punchestown. But for that race, Ken Estuaire and Michael Kennedy, popular 4-1 favourites. East India Express also being backed into 7s. And we have Active Authority, last year's second, was 12-1, and he's attracting support, as is Carl de Tourelle for Philip Fenton. Money as well for Fiercely Proud. And Saint Lefour at 28-1, guys. That's the market moves on day 4. Gold Cup day here at Cheltenham.
You're a modern day, albeit far more likeable, John McCririck. You just lash them out there, JD, like an old pro. And really, really interesting market moves there. It's particularly around in two McManus runners for me. The weakness of Dino Blue and the weakness also of Spillane's Tower, actually, in the Gold Cup. I'll start with you on the Gold Cup, Don. I feel I know your selection here, and your selection, actually, without giving it away just yet, might go off favourite. We're looking at the top of the market here. It's very, very tight between Gaelic Warrior, Django Bay, and the Jukebox Man, who's part-owned by Harry Redknapp. Give us your winner in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, I was just saying, Spillane's Tower, very, very weak. Like, Dino Blue is...
The question was on the Gold Cup, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So Spillane's Tower, as JD says, Spillane's Tower very weak. We get to Dino Blue's weakness, which is a really, really interesting market kind of weakness. But Spillane's Tower weak, I know the way you're thinking, solid. I don't think either is your selection today, though.
No, but, like, what a race, Johnny. Like, you can make cases for the lots of horses, and to me, that's the intrigue of it. Like, Gaelic Warrior... He's all class. He's an Arkell winner, so he's got the pace to win an Arkell. And you kind of thought he wouldn't stay. Then he won the bet, or the whatever the bowl, the entry bowl, is over 3 miles and a furlong this season. He was brilliant in the John Durkin Chase. He only finished third in the King George, but he was beaten like a short head and a short head. And then last time, finished second behind Taxifal in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, or the Irish Gold Cup. Paul Tannen rides him. Jukebox Man, I'm not certain that he's got the stamina for it. like he was a really game winner of the King George, but I think they were thinking Ryanair Chase, King George Ryanair, that's the way they were going to go. So I'd be a little bit worried about him in terms of stamina. Eddie Calor, like what a horse he's been, and amazed for Rebecca Curtis. And Sean Bowen, his rider, has never ridden a Cheltenham Festival winner. He's going to be champion jockey in Britain, and be brilliant if he could get his champion or his Cheltenham Festival winner on the board in the Gold Cup. Eddie Calor, he's going to get out in front and he's going to roll along. It's a case of whether they're going to catch him. He's an Irish Grand National winner, a Welsh Grand National winner. He's versatile in terms of ground conditions. He won the National Hunt Chase here last year. It's been done, but I just think there might be classier horses in it. Another way of thinking, like, if he came back to what he showed last year, obviously he's the one they have to beat. He's just had a very inauspicious season, but very positive vibes about him from the Gavin Cromwell yard recently, and that's all very positive. Grey Dawning, I don't think Grey Dawning is good enough to win it. But Le Django Bay is a horse that I like. I think he's got a brilliant profile for the race. Blantyre, yeah, he's weak. I think the rain is in Blantyre's favour, and his winning the Cotswold Chase, that form is not good enough to win this. He beat L'Empressé getting weight from him. But that said, he's got that latent ability. He's a dual grade one winner, and the brilliant story for Jimmy Mangan to win. But yeah, Django Bay, John was talking earlier on about the Arkle and the pace of the class with the Arkle last year. Kicking King finished second in an Arkle War, which was well beaten in an Arkle. So John finished second to do after the time was a 2 miler. Best mate would have run in the Arkle if what Mount hadn't scuppered that Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah, sorry. Apologies for the problem with Don's line. It's obviously a busy Friday, but we'll sort that out. I will say, JD, just you know, I have backed him in the race, and I tipped him up last year. I know the way you're thinking, but actually, if you look back on that race last year, Galvin Deschamps was very, very weak in the betting on the day, and in running he was notably weak. Like I always take notice of these things, and ultimately I know the way you're thinking, Beast. Galvin Deschamps, Gentleman's Game, and Monty Star, and the Real Whacker. These are horses who would absolutely not even have an ass's roar of you know, being involved in this Gold Cup, and he's taken on all these horses who didn't run in the race last year. Are we reading too much into his performance last year, or is as Don says, if he does repeat that, do you feel he's the one to beat?
I don't know if he's the one to beat. I mean, Gavin Cromwell gave me a very positive bulletin about his chances there when I spoke to him on Wednesday. Look, he's not really positive or negative in the market. I know the way you're thinking. You just have to have a mindset that I'm going to forget everything that's happened in the last 12 months and look at the way he performed in the race last year, and I'm going to take it as read that he's going to perform exactly the same way, and he's going to reproduce that. Like, he was very impressive in the race last year. He showed a lot of pace, and he really, and as well, even the previous year on softer ground, the way he just pulled away. But he does make jumping mistakes. He's had a terrible season in terms of his form.
Absolutely so terrible. It could not be much worse.
You are a brave person going in on I Know the Way You're Thinking. He's almost like a win-only bet. And the issue for me with the Gold Cup is sometimes, Johnny, you know you have the winner or you don't. So Denman, I talked about there before. I knew I had the winner with Denman. I knew I had Alba and Photo the first year. I just dawned on me the night before he's going to win this.
You can't say you're clairvoyant now. This is all after the fact.
No, I'm a clairvoyant.
Okay, fair enough.
And Sizing John, I literally wrote an article for the website. Sizing John can win the Cheltenham Gold Cup for Ireland on St. Patrick's Day, and you won. Today, like, I've been changed my mind about 10 times.
There are only 11 runners.
Which says to, and Gold Tweet is not one of them. So that means to me, I probably don't have the winner. But I'm going to come down on the side of Gaelic Warrior, because look, I think he is the class horse in the race. I think he probably is the best horse in the race, right?
I agree.
Like, he is a 2 mile Arkle winner. There was probably a suspicion that he's better going right handed earlier in his career, but I think that's maybe been put to bed a bit. He is quirky. Remember that race with Factor File, the two runners at Leopardstown, when he was all over the shop. But look, ultimately, Patrick Mullins came in November, and I said, what do you think of the Gold Cup? I'd love to ride Gaelic Warrior. He's mad about him. And I think if Paul Townend can settle him in the race, that's the key thing here. Like, he should have the stamina to get home. You'll have the pace. He can jump fine. He's had a good season. He won the John Durkin in a very hot race. Beat Factor File, and then the placings were obviously reversed in the Irish Gold Cup when he ran 2-3. He has to settle. But if he does settle here, like, remember, he won the bowl over 3 miles and a furlong going away. Willie Mullins is not worried about his stamina. If he stays the trip and if he settles, he's going to be hard to beat, I think, if he can avoid trouble in running Gaelic Warrior. I've come down on him, not in a strong way, but I've come down on him as probably just thinking that he's the best horse in the race. For the others, I don't think the Jukebox Man will stay. Django Bay, I respect. But once again, he does have to prove his stamina, but I love his attitude. I think he's a really nice racehorse. Hazy Couleur, we just probably don't know what the bottom of Hazy Couleur is. And you'll know pretty quickly what Hazy Couleur when they come down the top of the hill, if he's gone or if he's cooked, because if a horse passes him, he's gone. Like, we just don't know the bottom, because a bit like Native River, he's a great jumper, he's a front runner, he's a national winner, but he's never won a Grade One. Another way you're thinking, we've spoken about, I don't think Grey Dawning's good enough. I'd love to see Spillane's Tower win. I thought he was very impressive in the Trials Day race, but he didn't really probably beat anything. But I love the way he came up the hill. And it just, is the ground soft enough? Because we saw in the King George before, he was run off his feet. I do think he needs a real staying test. Firefox ran well the last day, and obviously he's in good nick and good order and was a really good 2 mile horse. Just not so sure he'll get the extra quarter mile of the Gold Cup. But Envoy Allen will be fresh. He's 12 years of age. Not since the 60s have you had a 12-year-old win, and that would be a great story. Not out of it, but I definitely can rule out Gold Tweet, and I can rule out Lompress.
Broadly speaking, I almost agree with everything you said there. I am going with, I know the way you're thinking, but JD's going with Gaelic Warrior, Django Bay for Don. In terms of the race tactics, I tend to agree. I as much as it's a great help over these fences to be out of trouble, but at the same time, if Hazy Couleur has the raw class to win this, the lads don't think the Jukebox Man will get home. I'm not even sure he's quite good enough. I don't think that King George form is actually good enough to win this race, and he had everything went right for him really that day. Maybe a stronger pace, but he was up at the pace. I put him up that day. Don put up Banbridge. Either could have won, but it was basically throw a blanket over them. It was like a finish in a bags race at Romford. And he's 7-2 today. For me, he doesn't have anywhere near the class of Gaelic Warrior. But Gaelic Warrior, I know the way you're thinking, and one or two other horses, they need to avoid a bad luck with the way they're going to be ridden. And Gaelic Warrior, he needs to not be as fresh as he was the last day. It's been a frustrating week, I would say, for Patrick Mullins, Don. He obviously was hoping to ride this horse. The champion hurdle went badly for him on Anzadam. Yesterday, he looked like he was going to win the Kim Muir for the first time, until he wasn't. Today, he rides Apollon de Charny in a difficult, difficult opening race in the Triumph. We have problems with Don again, and we're going to have to just cull Don for the time being and get over to JD. Before which, sure. I will say, Don, Maestro Conti is our JD. Maestro Conti is kind of my selection this race. Now, he's come in the betting. It's the skeleton factor.
This is just very difficult. I mean, the Willie Mullins factor is a really big thing in this race because of the amount of winners he's had in it over the years. And you're just going through the field here, and look, it's just very, very difficult to see who's going to do it. I mean, Selma Davari ran well at Leopardstown and is a very young horse. Proactive is a negative. Manella Study, a negative in the market as well. Like Apollon de Charny, to come from France and win would be pretty something else. The one I went for, Johnny, at a price is Kai Lung, who won at Nace. And there was a lot of positivity around the attitude that he showed that day. I don't think sometimes it's not necessarily a bad thing that you have not necessarily the stable jockey on, because Poneras won with John Joe Neal Jr. on the saddle at 100-1 in this race last year. Sean O'Keefe takes the ride on Kai Lung. One Horse Town has been running really, really well in the UK this season. He's attracting a little bit of support, but Kai Lung is a tentative each way selection for me. I put him in a lucky 15 for the charity, and he's about 25-28-1 shot. Willie Mullins, the problem with this race is a lot of it is on potential. But generally, the profile of the race is that you need a horse that was a good stayer in the flat to come in and get up that hill, because it's going to be like, this is like the old Triumph Hurdle. I thought the Triumph Hurdle was diluted by the Fred Winter, but it seems like with competitive races this year at Cheltenham, Johnny, that horse is now are almost resembling the old days of the Triumph, where it's...
I don't know what's happened, Judy. It's almost like, you know, the way Pat Keogh and Leopardstown...
They found more horses.
Well, yeah, Pat Keogh and Leopardstown, like, he used to take these trips to Japan and all of this, and, like, he'd go all over the world trying to get horses to run in the Champion Stakes. And, like, it's an actual, like, come to our race course type thing. And it's almost as if Cheltenham have just energized people to run their horse at the festival. It is absolutely terrific. It's made it, I would say, far more difficult for punters. And I've no issue with that whatsoever. That's how it should be at Cheltenham. It should be competitive. It should be punters not knowing before the race what's going to win and having different opinions. And it's been really phenomenal. And that story continues into the county. Quite like 6.5 here for Conor Stone Walsh and Gavin Cromwell. Big day for Gavin. Good to see his horses running well. And the duo teamed up in the cross country race with final orders. Now, she's a mare that flatters to deceive, I think it's fair to say, a little bit, including when she was an all over the winner until she wasn't in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle last year. Caribou says the, heads the betting. And I'm not sure he's as well handicapped as the market suggests. And can we have a bit of Sinatra, JD? Is it too early?
It's too good to be true, Johnny, to be honest. Oh, that's Andy Williams, isn't it?
It's been a long week.
If I can make it at Cheltenham, I can make it anywhere. It's up to you, Johnny.
It's up to you, JD. Give us the winner of the county.
6.5.
Oh no! I can't believe it. Of no, all of the horses exactly. You could have picked.
Yeah, I know. I picked it. I was down at the hurdle last year, the last hurdle, 6.5 was cruising.
Yes.
And then just got absolutely cottered by Rachel Blackmore. Brilliant ride and nerve entitlement in that mare's race. 10 stone 8 under Cornerstone Walsh. Drifting a bit actually behind a stablemate, Hello Neighbor, where there's money for that now into 12s. But I like 6.5's profile. I think a low weight is good in this. The other one, actually, I don't think there's a problem, folks, backing two horses in a race. And in Dowie, the top one was second in the race before. Josh Williamson takes off 5, and Josh had a good run on for Chiskin Rock from Maz Morris during the week. So in Dowie, the top one at about 33-1 might be worth a little bit of each way money for you.
I had Jericho de Rapine to win serious money yesterday in the last. And of course, I was sort of told, I think you're backing the wrong McManus horse here. So I put a saver on Watford Whispers. Neither got involved, but there's certainly nothing wrong whatever with having a couple of wagers in the same race. I think we have the great Don McLean back, in which case, Don, we will get your view. We don't have him back yet, actually. We'll get Don's views when we get him back, because we have like 6 other races to go through apart from the Gold Cup.
Sure.
The next one we're going to look at, JD, this for me is the most pronounced market move, good or bad, on the day. Dino Blue, even bigger on the exchanges, out to 2s with William Hill. Money for Panic Attack.
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at Panic Attack here about 11-4 for Harry Skelton, Dan Skelton. This was the winner of the old Hennessy, wasn't it, at Newbury? So you're coming back down and trip for this one. July Flower is interesting for Henry de Bromhead. Quite a bit of support for that horse. Remember, ran behind Romeo Coolio and Irish Panther, who didn't really run that well at the festival. My nap of the day, though, Johnny, is Diva Luna for Ben Pauling.
Oh, wow.
With a winner yesterday, meet me by the sea. I remember back in this horse last year in the Mare's Hurdle was placed, and she's won over the distance now. And I like her profile. I think she's progressive. I think she's going the right way. Dino Blue, these types of horses can't turn up here and win forever. And sometimes there's horses to improve in a progressive way beyond them. Spindle Mary, just was so disappointing the last day. Wasn't she in the Gold Cup, the Irish Gold Cup? And only by night, I mean, Gavin Cromwell in his blog for William Hill, has a lot of confidence behind this one. But the market is not reflecting that out to 11-1. So it's almost like the middle of the market with July Flower and Diva Luna are attracting support. But it almost feels like a bit of a weak market, and it'll probably wait until we see maybe the race take more shape about 2:00 before we know. And we'll obviously know as well about the ground conditions, Johnny, after the first race. But I'm going for Diva Luna, and this is my nap of the day.
Betting Don at the moment is a bit like a pint of Guinness. Like, I've liked Guinness since my college days, but when I'm sitting in a bar in Dublin and I'm looking at something that costs $7.50, I know, like, I'm not really sure I like it that much anymore. And Dino Blue is a weird one. I've been against the horse all along, but now I'm looking at 2-1. I'm like, is she edging into backable territory, Don?
Johnny, for sure. She won the race last year. She was only just beaten by Limerick Lace the year before. And she's been in good form this year. She won the Opera Hat Chase with Nace last time, impressively. And I think she's a standard setter. But I agree with John. I think there are horses in here who've got the potential to progress, at least get up to her level. Panic Attack's a 10-year-old now. I think this trip might be on the sharp side for her. She was really good at winning the Carroll Gold Cup. She had a Carroll Gold Cup as well earlier in the season. But she's come through the handicap route, so I think she's going to have to improve again.
It's just been one of them days, hasn't it? I tell you what we'll do, because of my respect for Don, who I played Astro with for years, and he's just an all-round good guy. More importantly, he's actually a very good judge. So I'm going to message him here to send me his selections for the all of the races. It's fair to say, like, Don, I think he's kind of against Dino Blue. I just don't know. Like, JD, she's not a horse I've ever really warmed to per se, but like, she's kind of bulletproof in this race. And I my selection in this race is July Flower, but I'm absolutely apt. You're talking about having two horses in a race. Nothing wrong with that. And if, say if you had €10 on July Flower at 10 to 1 today or whatever she is, but you didn't want to lose money on the race, you could have a fiver on Dino Blue to get your money back. So you'll get 15 back for your 15, for example, if Dino Blue wins, as what we would call a saver. And you can Dutch horses in the two races. But I am a bit surprised at the weakness of her, JD. But maybe there is a bit of depth to the race, I suppose.
Yeah, there is. And I think people are having punts at Cheltenham. I think if you're a punter, right, as opposed to somebody who maybe has an interest once a year, I think it's important to think about profit as opposed to winning and losing. So, I mean, if you come out of the week with a profit of 50 quid out of 4 days, and that could be through laying horses as well. And laying horses is sometimes seen as a bit more technical and less romantic than backing horses. And also maybe not in the spirit of the game to be backing a horse to lose as opposed to win. But if you're talking about the fundamentals of making a profit on the week, if you laid Mashburn, if you laid Bambino Fever this week, you'd be quids in. If you laid other horses that you thought might not do well. I mean, I don't really fancy the Jukebox Man at all today in the Gold Cup. Mm-hmm. I think it was a great story at Kempton. And, you know, would you be laying Dino Blue? You probably wouldn't, but at that price, the horse, I mean, I'm all about horses that come and do it the first time. And it's like, I know the way you're thinking, the time really to be backing him was last year, not this year. So if you're backing him this year, you might get the same price, but that moment where you had the anticipation to say, okay, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to get ahead of this is gone. Like Album Photo, the first year versus the second year. So surely there are horses out there that are progressive. Like King Rascal Grey was a great example of this. It was the bet. That was the bet this week that I thought, you know what? That was one that got away because he was 11 to 1. He was a very lightly raced horse for Woody Mullins. Woody Mullins and Paul Tennant and novice hurdles are pretty bulletproof. And 11 to 1 at the Cheltenham Festival for a novice, that was one definitely got away at the prices this week. So it's about anticipating the next thing. And to me, I'm more likely to think that July Flower or Diva Luna are more progressive than a horse like Dino Blue.
I'd agree about another thing. I think he was a better bet last year going into the race, and he's at a similar price today. JD, you have a good record in the Albert Barta at big prices, and little bits and bobs of information about the horse. I've seen him run King's Bucks for me. I'm going to go with another. I had Tip Vanillier, Penhill, and Very Wood in this race. Past performance is no guide whatsoever to me picking the winner of this race, but I just don't like Anton really at the top of the market. King's Bucks for me. What do you like?
Why do you like King's Bucks?
If you look at his run, I know the form hasn't necessarily worked out, but if you look at his run behind No Drama This End, considering how lightly raced he was, and Heads Up, who was actually a very good horse in his day, that was a lovely, lovely effort for a horse of little experience. I'm wondering, why did they bring him over to run in the Albert Bartlett's Novices Hurdle at the November meeting, other than with a view to this race? It was disappointing that he was subsequently beaten by U Proof at Limerick. I was there that day, but Manel Emperor was third. It was a good race. And ultimately, Henry de Bromhead, he's among the winners. And he has won this race with big price horses. So yeah, Darrow O'Keefe and Henry de Bromhead to strike at came in 18 to 1.
Yes. Look, I thought Henry de Bromhead's horses were not running well until yesterday, and then Hartwood won. So I was looking at, maybe the yard isn't going too well. And Gordon Elliott, I know Wood who won, and he's had a couple of horses that have been placed. And you're thinking, is the yard in form? Is the yard not in form? I'm still back in Gordon Elliott's yard to do well today. I'm going to take an opinion that Gordon Elliott's yard will do well today. I mean, I watched that race that Kazansky ran at Limerick in, and I thought he ran really, really well at Christmas, and he was 18 to 1. He's 18 to 1 now, and he's drifting, but the stable jockey's not on him. I know there's money for Jalon Duderise, but spinning the yarn, Jack Kennedy, you know, has the choice of these. 16 to 1, not too much friends in the market, but a horse with a huge amount of potential. So I'm going to go each way, spinning the yarn. But Woody Mullins does have a very good record in the race. Sometimes this race, I think, and The Devil You Know would be a great winner because Nicky English, the former Tipperary hurling legend, is involved in The Devil You Know. But I think this race sometimes can be about two types of horses. Horses that either come lightly raced with maybe one win under their name and there's a bit under the bonnet, or horses that have a lot of experience, Kilbrick and Storm style, and then can come to the track maybe in the autumn, as you said, and then come again and win. But I love the race, but it's a tough one to work out, and I'm going to go for spinning the yarn for Jack Kennedy and Gordon Elliott.
I've been in your company many, many times in Dublin taverns, and you have spun some yarns, JD.
I've spun some yarns, my boy.
And maybe we'll spin another one or two this weekend. Don's selection in the race is The Devil You Know, aforementioned there, and what a day it would be if Nicky English and Ari Redknapp were to have a winner, and both have fancied horses in grade ones. Let's move on to... we're next on to the
Hunter's Chase.
So this is run over the Gold Cup trip. Used to be called the Fox Hunters. Now it's changed its name. Don and I are both with Panda Boy. Don is in brackets. If pushed, I'd kind of be the same myself. This is a race. The amount of people who back Salsify the year he was very, very lucky to win. It can be a race. It's kind of funny. You know, you have two races left of the 28, and you might be getting ahead of yourself. You say, I really want a winner here. I've lost a few quid in the Gold Cup. Don't behave like that. It's a tough, tough race. But that's same time, JD, in terms of betting races today, this might actually be one of the better ones. I do like Panda Boy. It was really open.
It is really open, and it's on the line. Panda Boy attracting money. Like, Panda Boy was a really good horse for Martin Brassel. I would call it in the park races, the handicap chases. I know this is a park chip. It's a different type of chase. Money for would it go ahead. Look, I'm going to continue to back Barry O'Neill in these races until he wins one, because he's had so much misfortune. It was that Discorama and Winged Leader, and he's been such a big point-to-point star in Ireland, as has Derek O'Connor, that surely Barry's look's going to change at some stage. The Chemical Energy doesn't have much support in the market, but a 16-1 for horse has been kind of freshened up by winning a couple of points, and has that festival form. He was second in the longer distance race a few years ago. I'm going to go with Chemical Energy. I'm going to stick with Barry and keep the faith and not lose faith in him. And he's about 16-1 shot. He's my 10th of each way selection. Once again, if you're back in Wonderwall, last year was the time to do it, not this year. Collins Rock is very highly regarded. The soft dry ground that he's going to encounter today, like versus the forecast, does put him into the frame. And I was speaking to somebody from Cork during the week, and he's very well regarded in the Terence O'Brien stable. Collins Rock, I wouldn't put anybody off him, but I'm going for Chemical Energy.
So I looked up Air of Entitlement here on my WhatsApp history, and there's a conversation with you, Brona, and Kathleen. Kathleen was involved at the time in the pod, and it's basically Bob Olinger, 2025 Cheltenham, Air of Entitlement, 2025 Cheltenham, Manila Times, 2021 Grand National. Like, what is this? It was actually my best three Rachel Blackmore rides. Now, Rachel Blackmore will not be there to... I thought she was brilliant on this horse last year.
Yes.
It's important to note here, and this is kind of collateral form going back a while, but if 6.5 happened to win, go straight in and back Air of Entitlement to win the nightcap. Yeah. But this is actually Don's selection in the nightcap, JD, at a big, big price. What's yours?
That's Patrick O'Brien riding for Henry de Bramhead. I would respect Active Authority, who finished second last year. Froddy Murphy comes back again. But I was definitely taken by the way Wendrock ran at the festival last year and then the way he ran at Leopardstown at Christmas staying on over 2.5 miles, was pulled up the last day. You put a line through that with Carl Miller on board, Wendrock about 11-1 shot each way is my selection. But Willie Mullins has often used this race as maybe a staging point or a starting point for horses that can be great champions in the future, including Galopin des Champs, who won this race in 2021. Don Pody won this race, I remember, back in the day. So William Mullins horses have to be respected. Joe Baden is in there, Pettisoir and Rock Gino, so I wouldn't put anybody off them. And obviously these are the stars of the futures in the saddle, Michael Keneally, John Chinnock, Anna McGuinness, that we're going to see a lot more of, hopefully.
100%. It's a race I like, I have to say. Now, I do like the fact that they brought in this race for conditionals, and it's one of those extra races that they brought in. You can definitely see the place for it. Some of the riders, like Owen Staples, Connor Stone Walsh, Paddy O'Brien, Mike O'Connor, Sean Cleary Farrell, these are riders that have a big, big futures. And a good point made by JD. You might be looking at a future Gold Cup winner here. I would really, really reiterate this, though. If you've had a bad Cheltenham, and the chances are you're down by the end of it, you know, and the law of averages, most punters are losing at Cheltenham this week. Do not go lumping on this race to, quote-unquote, get out, JD. Like, it's
not... Absolutely not.
If you want a winner in the race, but you've no strong opinion on it, have a couple of quid each way. Don't go trying to chase losses ever, 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 and certainly not in this race, JD.
Absolutely. There's always the phrase, isn't it? A 3-1 winner at Limerick or Wolverhampton, as much respect as you have for those courses, is just as good as a 3-1 winner at Cheltenham, right? So we can all get carried away and swept away in the wave of the excitement and the buzz and all that kind of thing. But ultimately, you should say, if I'm going to have a punt this week, I'm going to say, okay, I'm prepared to lose 20 quid or 50 quid or whatever. And if I lose it, I'm not going to be in a bad mood about it. I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm not going to be affected by it. So if you're ever affected by it, then it's not for you. And it's okay for it not to work out in this sphere of your life and the other spheres of your life. It definitely can work out. But look, there's Aintree to come, there's Punchestown to come, there's Ferry House to come. There'll be a lot better opportunities and easier opportunities, folks. There'll be easier opportunities than what I like to think that you know your stuff. John knows his stuff. Don McLean is a form legend, and I know my stuff, right? We all picked Slade Steele yesterday on the 6th. And then in the same colours, the same trainer, same ownership, Hartwood wins. So that just shows, if we don't know, and we've been doing this for 30 years, then it's hard to do it. So it's hard to find one even today. So just that's why I find sometimes it's even sometimes good to do a multiple bet for small money. And then if you can see if you can get some horses placed, and then they can maybe multiply on.
Yeah, frustratingly for me, the two big bets I've had this week were each way doubles. The first one won at a big price and was going into the last race on the day, on day 1 and 3. Both had big, big chances, massive place chances, both bombed. So I was like, it's been frustrating. But at the same time, I'm in the game long enough to know that 3-1 winner JD is on about somewhere else could be 88 at Dundalk in the 6 o'clock. I quite like him tonight.
Well, there you go.
So keep an eye out for that. My nap of the day is Carl de Tourelle. The great Don McLean's nap.
Philip Branton,
I just like him at the prices. Dropping back in trip from the Pertemps last year, in which he ran well but didn't stay. Don's nap of the day.
14-1,
yeah. And it might be okay. Sometimes if you govern expectation and cushion your expectation, you can have a better day. And I kind of have that feeling about today. I'm not going to get mad heavily involved, and that's been the case all week. But Don's nap today is Django Bay. We've had our nap, okay. JD. Let's have our charity bets.
So you've gone for Carl de Tourelle in the 5:20 at 14-1 as your nap, and Don has gone for Django Bay in the Gold Cup. That's at 4 o'clock on day four at Cheltenham here. Django Bay for the nap is what? 7-2 shot. My nap of the day is Diva Luna in the 2:40. The Mayor's Chase at 8-1 each way is my nap at Diva Luna. Charity bets, folks, hasn't been a great week. About 300 banked so far. So it wasn't a complete disaster. Wednesday we broke even, but yesterday wasn't very good. So keep the fingers crossed. And obviously you should go each way. What I'm doing here tactically is I'm going to win because I'm trying to make a bit of profit for the charity. So please go each way. Don't follow me exactly. But this is what I'm going to do. 2:40 Diva Luna, a 60 euro win at 8s. The 2 o'clock in Dowie, the county hurdle, 20 euro win at 28-1. Chemical Energy in the 4:40, 40 euro win at 14s. And the 5:20 Wendrock, 10-1, 50 euro win. And then I'm going to do a euro each way. Lucky 15, Johnny. The 1:20, Kailung at 25s. 2 o'clock, 6.5 at 12s. 3:20, spinning the yarn at 16-1. And I think at 4 o'clock in that lucky 15, Gaelic Warrior will win the Gold Cup at 7-2.
I'm off to the Harold, JD. I'll tell everyone you were asking for them there. Do go easy on the rhythm and blues today. It's a long day.
I'll see you tomorrow for Football Saturday, John.
We'll be back for tomorrow. And, the weekend is, it's a great weekend of sports to come as well. And a magical, magical Gold Cup of 2026 with or without Gallop and Deschamps. Thanks a million, JD.
Thanks, Johnny. Take care.
Yeah, that was John Duggan. John Duggan is over Cheltenham. He's been over at Cheltenham all week. Apologies for the issue with Don McLean. Don is genuinely one of the most polished pros that I deal with, and the Wi-Fi issues today were absolutely out of his control. Do not get out of control today, but if you have a winner, do enjoy it. That was the Racing Pod.
Horse racing on Off the Ball with William Hill, giving this year's Cheltenham Festival an epic boost. Download the app. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.